The Electric Vehicle Podcast, hosted by Theo Gibson. This podcast could not be brought to you without the help of our generous sponsors. Thanks to our gold sponsor, OEM Audio, leading supplier of charging cables and accessories in New Zealand. Hello and welcome to the Electric Vehicle Podcast. My name is Theo Gibson. Today on the show, I am joined by an old guest. I guess you'd call it an old guest. We haven't spoken to him for about 2 years, but it's Rod Badcock from the Robinson Research Institute at Victoria University of Wellington. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Theo. I'm really well, and you know, it's I'm really quite happy to be talking with you again and talking about electric vehicles and how things have moved on since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the initial chat we had is one of the ones, one of our episodes that is referenced the most. I've got to say, people loved our initial chat around electric flight. And what you were doing, and they were really kind of proud and happy to be knowing that this stuff was being done in New Zealand. And you know, looking at what's happened over the time, especially just in electric flight, I mean, we've seen, you know, Magni X doing the first electric seaplane, and we've seen all sorts of things developed, haven't we?
Yep. So we've seen a lot of things going on. In actual fact, the last podcast was also at an interesting point. As you know, at the Robinson Research Institute, we're really well known internationally for our work with superconducting machines and taking them to commercial application. Mm. And I know it's sort of, some people think that's very science. Well, it's actually real engineering now. This is real machines, real systems. And that's about, I spoke about the aircraft and about the need for aircraft to go to superconducting systems. That's where,
yes.
It's a bit like a friction-free surface for electricity flow. We can put a current in, and if it's a superconducting loop, it will just keep running and running and running around without disappearing.
Right.
So, you know, that can be thousands of amps.
Wow.
And that has implications for those machines. But that really has driven a lot of development work internationally. But actually, the podcast, I mean, I can give a shout out to Rod Drury, who's actually has been become quite the podcast. Actually, he found interesting, and he's been driving discussion around electrification of air transport and other transport systems from that viewpoint.
Wow!
And it's spilling right over outside the superconductivity. So our research work is in that superconducting systems.
Yes. Now, I remember, you know, one of the big things you were trying to solve last time, and I, you know, it was about kind of weight, wasn't it? It was part of the battle, weight with battery capacity and battery density, and also the amount of propulsion that was available to you with existing propulsion units. Is that still very much the case?
So that's a real challenge. Mm. Okay. That's a real challenge that for the big aircraft, only the superconducting technology can solve. And that's where we're working with partners all over the world.
Yes.
In that space. However, as you mentioned Magni X.
Yes.
I don't think I'm at liberty to say which company in New Zealand, but the Magni X motors, actually, a lot of them were made by a New Zealand company.
I did not know that.
Right, so I can't really say about who they are because I don't think it's public knowledge. But the reason I raise that is, no, they're not superconducting.
Yes.
But a lot of the technology elements for electrification of all transport at the heavy scale, the expertise actually exists here in New Zealand, or we're at the cutting edge of.
Wow.
And that's the segue a little bit into what you heard recently about a program that we're spearheading. It actually doesn't start until tomorrow.
So you've got a couple more hours to get prepared.
But it's around, this is basically what happened is ourselves, our partners at AUT, Auckland University, at University of Canterbury, with Callaghan Innovation, with a number of companies like Kiwi Rail, Air New Zealand, with organisations such as Fabron Solutions in Christchurch, ARA Institute, and Manukau Institute of Technology.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Plus a number of Māori organisations such as Tahura North, Ngāi Tahu, and some of our other other partners. We really saw the opportunity for a much wider play for New Zealand in both in terms of leading the world for a low carbon transportation, and also developing an industry and a people and an export product. And I suppose that's the bit that I'm very pleased to say that the Ministry of Business, Innovation, Employment, Strategic Science Initiatives Fund, Investment Fund, they announced a call for advanced energy technology platforms.
Well, that's definitely you.
Yeah, yeah, brand new. That was, they announced that in that they were going to do a call at the end of last year.
Wow.
We got our skates on. We brought the thing together. And we said, actually, we think that we can actually create a thriving international excellence in New Zealand, a thriving industry, the genesis of an export market around the whole power loop for high power machines.
Wow.
And actually, we've got all the starting points in New Zealand, and it literally needed to go down to industry-ready people, different training, different growing certain technology out of where we already are. And it's aimed at heavy transport.
So we're talking planes, trains, ships, buses?
We're talking planes, trains, ships, and trucks.
Yeah.
We're talking the stuff that is that is that megawatts plus scale.
Yeah.
We're not talking about your personal EV.
No.
Yeah. Your personal EV, I think is actually off to a relatively good start.
Yep.
The technology's there. People are seeing the benefits. But it's really where our imports are in New Zealand. We import a lot of fuel to power our transport, a heavy transport fleet.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a drain on our GDP.
Yep.
Because it is an import, but it is also an emission.
Okay. Yes.
And there's no secret that the particulate emissions from transportation in New Zealand cost lives.
Yes, it does. And it seems to be rising somewhat.
Yeah, well, actually, it dropped during lockdown.
that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
So, and it dropped, and it's still down.
Wow.
And it's actually quite interesting looking at the NIWA's air monitoring stations about just how much, if you'll actually remember about how during lockdown, during the actual level four,
yes,
how clear the environment was. People were commenting on it.
Wow.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it was.
And so that's a sign of where we might go.
Yes.
But the reason why New Zealand's really well placed is because we are blessed with the foresight of older generations in New Zealand who set our electricity supply network up that's predominantly renewable.
Yes. Yep.
We are unlike many other countries in the world. Our electricity supply is 90% plus renewable.
Yeah.
And the reason that's important, well, you well know, is that sort of like for EVs, if you operate them in Australia, we're actually still producing a lot of carbon to provide the electricity to charge it up.
Totally, all that coal.
Yeah, and we do not use it. Now, that means that our transport fleet, heavy transport, can run off what is already clean electricity to provide clean transportation. And that's a unique position.
Mm, mm. And we're quite a good testing environment here too, aren't we, in New Zealand? I mean, I know I've heard of lots of companies coming here to test all manner of electric constructions.
So, I mean, I can, if I talk about the testing environment, well, we are well served by a quite a strong grid. So we have the power here. We have a diverse population.
Yep.
We've got a lot of we've got a lot of linkages internationally. We are a multicultural society. We also have a regulatory environment. We actually have some foresight that's quite unique around the world. In fact, we have, for example, the CAA trying to help, and the government trying to help the developers of technology
yes.
in the aerospace industry, for example, operate out of here
yeah.
because they see the benefit.
Yes.
But we also have a highly intelligent, highly skilled workforce in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And we have expertise here that isn't available elsewhere. So one of the reasons about this program on electrification of transport under the platform that's really quite unique. It has three major technology streams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has, you know, it's, we have, there is superconductivity that's involved with some of the much, much bigger heavy transportation.
Yeah.
But that's one stream. We have world class, we're recognized all around the globe for our expertise in applying it. We're also really, really excellent at our power electronics in New Zealand.
Yes.
The team at Auckland University are world experts recognized in their power electronics. They're already dealing with charging of ferries and inductive power transfer for transport fleets.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
But what a lot of people don't realize is we have a burgeoning cryogenic industry too.
Yeah, that's what fascinates me. Yeah, I'd love to know more about it.
So cryogenics is the science and engineering of very, very cold things. This is 50 degrees Kelvin. So that means really it's minus 220 degrees Celsius is where we're talking.
Yeah, right.
But we're not talking about sloshing buckets of liquid around, yeah?
Yeah.
These are most of the expertise in New Zealand is industrial.
Man.
And actually, we have companies and organizations. This is where Callaghan Innovation and Fabrum Solutions and AF Cryo come in. Unbeknownst to most people, they're quietly churning out industrial, rugged, reliable, high-performing cryogenic systems that are used all over the world and are forming a growing industry.
Wow.
Okay. And the reason that's important for this is because by bringing all of those together, the world is aiming, even with conventional motors and generators, to improve the power and the size. They're going to making them cold. So
yes.
they don't make them superconducting, but they make them cold.
Yeah.
The reason that's important is because if you make a conductor cold, that piece of copper can carry 10 times or more electricity,
wow.
which means you can increase your power. So the secret with some of those motors you've heard about for the smaller size aircraft is that they're actually cryogenic in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we have that expertise here, and we're going to grow that academic ability and then link it and grow that capability all the way up to make that world class too, to actually capture market. So there's no reason, for example, that we could be making conventional electric aircraft motors in New Zealand.
Yes.
The whole system. There's no reason that we can't make those train systems, whether it's a maglev train, whether it's a high power, high speed train motor and the subsystems. And, you know, it's our colleagues at ABB are on the East Coast. You know, they're
all here.
They're all here, right? We have Auckland, we have Auckland University, we have the spin-out companies from there, we have the companies in Christchurch. So it's all here, and so this is all about bringing that capability together to actually start addressing that whole electrification of transport, we can be ahead of the rest of the world. We can do it without, because it actually makes sense from an import-export viewpoint for us.
Yes.
We can get our benefits, but more importantly, there's a gap, and there's a gap that we can fill. Now, that if we talk about that gap, if I said to you now, I know you drive an EV.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying to you, let's say you had one of the top-of-the-shelf EVs, and you're driving down the road, and you've got a red light.
Yeah.
And you're in Timaru, and you pull in down the road, and you call in a mechanic.
Yeah.
And you say, I've got a red light. What does he say to you?
Yeah, take it to your mechanic or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. He says, oh, go back to that dealer.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually the wrong answer for us to plan infrastructure, to plan at a company level, for planning at a large major organization and infrastructure providers, because actually you don't need just the best world, best research. You also need companies who are performing in the industry, but we need people who actually understand what they need to know in order to be able to plan, to service, to maintain.
Totally.
So you will have seen on News Hub that Ryan, yesterday, Ryan Wardman at Sounds Air saying he's going to go and he's seriously looking at making the Sounds Air fleet all electric.
Yes, I did see that, yep.
Yep. Well, I've had discussions with Ryan, and I think he should be congratulated for his vision.
Yeah.
Right. Now, where does he look to service, maintain, support, and plan?
Yes.
Right? So he needs a whole level. There's a whole level in industry in New Zealand around
supporting
that mechanic knows enough. But they look at it just the same as a mechanic will look at an engine and knows enough about it but couldn't design an engine.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Well, we need the same. Yes. And that's why Manukau and ARA Institute are so key to this. Right? What we're doing is we're actually offering scholarships and internships for those scholarships at diploma level.
Wow.
Not just at degree level and above, a diploma for people to actually get involved in the technology, learn about it, they'll modify their course structures. They're going to aim them towards their engineering diplomas towards the electrification of transport.
Great.
They'll learn about it. They'll then go out. They'll work in those organizations. They might be at AF Cryo. They could be HGS 110. They could be with us here. They could be with some of the companies in Auckland. They could be potentially on the other side of the world if we finally move out of the pandemic.
Yes.
So it's sort of they get exposed.
Huge opportunities, yeah.
Yeah. But also we're tying it down to working with the schools and an outreach so that they understand the technology and the people are coming through. So this is a bit different to a normal research-type program. This is about developing capability.
Mm.
That's capability in people. That's capability in industry. It's developing industry-ready people, and it's actually developing product and service that is an export. So it's not just about us reducing our carbon footprint in New Zealand. This is about actually economics, people, our economy, and about having a high value product.
That's fantastic. Because I mean, however you look at it, right, the way we move around and the way we move things around is changing, and we don't want to be relying on external, companies and countries to support that, especially here in New Zealand. I mean, you want to be able to facilitate that here in New Zealand and around the world. It's fantastic.
Yeah. But I mean, we talk about, as I said to you, I'm not looking at domestic EVs in this program because it's the low power level. And actually there's a lot of people looking in that space. But however, once you start talking about the charging infrastructure, how do you deliver a rapid power input to that via other systems? You start talking about high power devices. That's where some of the electronics come in.
Yeah.
And we've got cutting edge collaborations, like with Cambridge University on wide band gap electronic devices that are state of the art, but not even turned in devices yet.
Yeah.
Because we'll be able to operate them much, much higher power with lower losses to be able to deliver some of the power systems and the fast chargers that we need to do.
Yes. Wow, that's fantastic. So is the idea that we can basically build these you know, electric motors that are cryogenically cooled, that perform so much better, and then export an entire drivetrain and charging system overseas? Is that kind of the idea? Like,
I would like to end up in that position that you say we have that industry, we're supporting, we're at the cutting edge. You know, we can be so far ahead that the rest of the world are fighting to catch up.
Yes.
We already lead the world in terms of the superconductivity, in terms of the power electronics. We can add our additive manufacturing, the cryogenic systems, and grow that into that too.
Wow.
And then literally, you know, we are talking about machines that are high value, they're high density, as in they're small for the power, and we can actually, you know, as one of my colleagues here many years ago said, and I think I've said it a number of times, Ben Parkinson said, we're really good in New Zealand about manufacturing and exporting things that you can put your arm around.
Because
if they're high value, you can put your arms around it, we can get it out and compete with the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. And I mean, I just thinking in terms of design and the engineering going forward, I mean, that has huge benefits to the way you design, you know, a plane or a train or a ship for that matter, because you're not using up as much space, are you? I mean, if you can keep it small but high power density, that's amazing.
That's right. If you can keep high power density, you can do that. Now, you know, if you look at high power motor systems, the actual power electronics are a large fraction of the overall volume or mass.
Yes.
So we can severely dent that too. By one of the streams we're focusing that here on the electronics is aiming to hit that, and that's to give an edge to what we do here.
Wow. Wow. So how long? So I mean, what is your initial steps? Is are you kind of with your finger on the start button and it's everything's rolling out at once, or is it a gradual process? How long is this going to take to roll out?
Well, some things will roll out quicker. So we're going to roll out some of the big high power superconducting machines, fully superconducting in all aspects. We'll roll out some conventional. We'll do some of the cryogenically cooled power electronics and electronic systems and the drives. But we are bringing this team, or these partners, haven't worked together in quite this way before. So we're actually finding our way through.
Yes.
It's, you know, some of the organisations, they're looking with interest. They want to be informed. They want to be able to plan. And they want to pick up the people. So, I mean, ARA and Manukau will be modifying their engineering courses to start to take account of this. So they've got, you know, this is work that we're starting that journey now. And we're working the capability. Yes, there'll be projects and items that fall out of it on the way, but developing that capability is going to rapidly increase the uptake much greater. We're in this initial program is a 7-year program.
Yep.
I would expect that we're going to be meeting, all the partners are going to meet together during October.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be planning the first step work programs. There's a lot to get together, right?
Yeah, I can imagine. A lot of moving pieces.
And the moving pieces include, you know, some of our partners have geothermal plants.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's how does that work in? How do you plan the infrastructure for an electric future?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting. It's really exciting that it's happening here.
This is really, I cannot stress enough how grateful I am that the ministry are actually quite forward thinking on this.
Yes.
I was blown away when they announced that we'd been successful with this program. Our partners are all actually, so in advance of the announcement anyway by the ministry. The partners are sort of like, we've already started to gel anyway. We've started to, well, we can get on with this bit of that. We can do this. And, oh, this would be great. And there's so much excitement.
Wow, that's fantastic. Bring it on. That's what I say. I can't wait. Wow. So, yeah, look, makes me want to start my career again now. Can I come back to university?
If I want another message out there, I think I said last time I needed researchers.
Yeah.
I don't need just researchers now. I need engineers. I need
people
who are going to go into planning. I need people who want to do a diploma. I want school kids who want to get it, who want to do something different, and they want to who love playing.
Yeah.
With I call it playing because we play with toys, right? who love playing and building and creating, who maybe want to look at a different future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of the younger generation, you know, can see it on the horizon, but there are often those questions, you know, how do I get into it? How do I get involved? What can I do? You know, now they know.
Now they absolutely do know. I mean, they can certainly, they're going to be welcomed with open arms at the companies that are involved with us. They're going to be able to do some diploma level, so that it doesn't necessarily have to involve university.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we will grow the capability with time.
Yeah.
But we're started, and who wouldn't want to be involved in it?
Wow. So is it? I'm just curious. So, do you see with your partners any applications of this technology on, say, trains, for example, or ships here in New Zealand? Are there any of your partners who have put their hand up and said, stick one of those in our ship?
So this is why it's such an interesting group, because internationally we're dealing with all of the major aerospace companies.
Yes.
Amongst the team. I mean, every single one. And we're also dealing internationally with a lot of the rail industry.
Wow.
If I said to you, you said about ships.
Yeah.
So my colleagues at Auckland already dealing with charging for electric ferries.
Yes, for the new ferries coming out, yeah.
No, not just these. I mean on larger ones.
Wow.
I don't mean just the smaller harbour ferry around Wellington.
Yeah.
I'm talking about some of the bigger ferries and the bigger systems. Wow. You know, they're already dealing with that. I mean, and as I said, we've got organised companies in New Zealand. We're involved in manufacture of conventional electric airplane motors.
Yes, that's great. We
have an industry in New Zealand that is known for supplying permanent magnet electric motors for appliances. I don't mean washing machines, which is also another capability that's here.
It's true, it is.
So hence why I'm saying, yes, I think... we're involved with rail. We're involved with marine.
Mm.
The one space I want to grow and I'm going to put a lot of effort into is trying to get into some of the heavy transport on the road transport as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so that'll be a focus of ours because it's where I think we can make a huge impact.
Mm. Mm. Do you see hydrogen playing a part in it at all in terms of a fuel type?
Right. So. This is where it becomes really quite neat. The hydrogen as a transport vector is interesting. Okay, so New Zealand is looking quite hard at hydrogen. Aerospace in the USA is very, very much looking in the hydrogen space, but it's complementary. And the reason why I say it's complementary is because when you want to store hydrogen as a transport fuel, you squeeze it
and
you compress it.
Yeah.
And what you create is a cryogenic liquid.
Wow.
And that cryogenic liquid is sitting at the temperature, around the temperature actually, that is useful for all of these machines. Right. And it requires the same cryogenic systems that we are working on.
Wow.
So actually what it means is, for example, somebody asked me today, actually, they said, oh, so when would we see the large 747 type aircraft running with electric motors or low emissions.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's an interesting question. And the reason it's interesting is because you could potentially look at a hybrid aircraft running in 10 years. I reckon you could probably look at a hybrid running on hydrogen with electric in 15.
Wow. Right? Yeah.
And the reason being is you're using it as your fuel, but you get some other synergies. You can link the hydrogen as part of your cooling system.
Fascinating.
So hydrogen handling, it becomes interesting.
And it
probably gives all of the breathing space we need until battery technologies can reach the point we need.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And as you run an EV, you know just how large and heavy even state-of-the-art batteries are.
Oh, well, yes.
They need to come down further. They will do. There's so much effort on them, they will come down further. We're not looking at battery technology in this program because there is just so much effort internationally and our excellence is in the other areas.
Yes, totally. Yeah, we've got to have the other things that plug into the batteries to get anywhere.
Yep. That's right. So the power electronics we talk about would deal with battery charging. Mm. You know, the hydrogen. Well, if there is work going on in New Zealand, quite significant work looking at hydrogen as a transport vector. Absolutely, we will plug into that work, and we will build those linkages and collaborations.
Wow! Well, how much roughly in terms of percent do we need battery density to capacity to improve and weight to reduce? How far away are we from that to support electric flight?
Well, so it depends on the scale of electric flight.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason I say that is because To be quite blunt, the Sounds Air's type operations, just like their news releases yesterday and today, in New Zealand, I think they're actually achievable now. They just need the certification on the motors.
Yes.
Once you start talking about your large passenger planes, the power densities need to go up significantly.
Yes.
They're going to operate for longer. And they need faster charge times and the power density. So you're talking about something that's at least half the weight for the same power, for the same storage capacity.
Wow.
Probably three times.
Wow.
On a three times change.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, you know, realistically, that battery technology for that type of operation might be 30 years away.
Yes.
However, you know, there's a lot of it that applies to now. And when you start talking about trucking, And ferries with different drivers on the power to weight, actually, you know, I think some of that's available now.
Wow.
And it certainly doesn't have to move as far on the battery technology.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why there's a scale on the implementation.
Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating. That's really exciting. Now tell me, has COVID affected you at all in terms of, I mean, you know, the aviation industry has had a pretty big hit in the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. Has it affected any of your partners?
Well, so it's affected our New Zealand partners.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I am conscious about not distracting them too much at the moment. They have a lot to deal with.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yep. They have a huge amount. But our international partners, it's actually quite interesting in that internationally, the aerospace, the airplane manufacturers are actually doubling down.
Yeah.
They're doubling down on their R&D to accelerate. So it's an interesting dynamic. Some of the operators, of course, are challenged. But the manufacturers are actually doubling down in the electric technology, and that's really interesting. So there has been some challenges in collaboration, in that you know, that those that in-person collaboration is changing,
yes,
right? And it has to at the moment, of course.
Yes.
But That's, I suppose, it's mainly the in-person, but we found other ways.
Yes, totally.
In actual fact, that's helped New Zealand. I know, for example, one of my challenges is engineering companies in the Wellington region, and actually a lot of the North Island that I deal with, they are now so busy dealing with things where people are looking to have more of the supply chain locally around them.
Yes.
Avoid that transportation issue.
Wow. Wow. It's exciting. It's exciting. I know it's a very hard time for companies, but there is some very interesting things coming out of it, isn't there? Wow. Yep. Cool. So if people want to know more about your program, where do they go?
Well, they can come to the Robinson website. So that's www.wgtn.ac.nz/Robinson.
Yep.
And there's some information on there on the news. They could go to the ministry website. They could contact us directly.
Cool.
We absolutely love talking to people. In fact, we probably talk too much.
Hey, look, if you're passionate about what you do, I think it's really important.
Yep. That's so brilliant. So any of those places and the ministry, ourselves, the university, absolutely. They'll also probably hear from, they could approach Callaghan, they could approach Auckland University, Canterbury, AUT, ARA Institute. So engineering at ARA, engineering at Manukau. They'll both love to talk to people.
Totally. And is there any idea when the first set of courses will be rolling out?
Well, so the first interns are going to be running through this Christmas, this summer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is, we're, as I said, we've been saying, oh, right, we've been moving. So our first interns are going to be running through over this summer.
Wow. You really are hitting the ground running. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I think that wraps us up. But thank you very, very much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Rio. It's always a pleasure.
and do keep us posted. I mean, we always love to hear about what you're doing.
Absolutely, will do. And it also, I think, I'm going to point some of my colleagues, maybe at Auckland University, who I think can give very specific linkages to some of the charging and the power transfer and the new electronics, and maybe some of my colleagues at Callaghan and down at AF Cryo, and talk about the cryogenic systems, because it really is an unsung story in New Zealand.
Yeah, no, I would love to talk to any of them, because I find it all really, really fascinating, and it's really great for, you know, New Zealanders and people around the world to hear what we're doing. So please, yes, let's get in touch with them.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Great to talk for you.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day.
And you.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye. Okay, and that was Rod Badcock from the Robinson Research Institute. Really fascinating to chat with Rod. It's just so cool what he's doing, and hats off to him and all the companies he's working with. I really am excited for New Zealand and any engineering students or people of that way inclined who want to get into the field, because it's a really exciting time. As I said, I would totally go back in time and train up again and probably become an engineer if I was to start my life again, but sadly, I probably don't have the time, and I do need to focus on getting my pilot's license. That's still a key goal, and I still am totally focused on flying in an electric seaplane. So I've got to tick that off my bucket list before I do anything else. Okay, that about sums up the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. My name's Theo Gibson. This is the Electric Vehicle Podcast. We're on the socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fantastic candy social media stuff that rots your brain. We're there. And if you want to come on the show, or you want to have a chat with me, I would love to talk with you about, you know, something EV related, not just like about the weather or anything, but, you know, if you want to talk to me about something EV related, maybe something you're doing here in New Zealand or overseas, I would love to chat to you. And you can get in touch with me at theo.gibson@evpodcast.com, or you can get in touch with me through the socials as well. If you like what I do and you want to support me, just head over to patreon.com and flick me a couple of bucks. I really do appreciate it. I know the show has been slightly sporadic of late, but it's a busy time. And if you've listened to previous shows, you know On the side, I also am running an audiobook startup company. Thanks in part to COVID, that's starting to take off, which is kind of a strange thing. So I've been very busy with that, so I do apologize. But my goal is to always keep going with as much podcasting as possible, and we'll get the balance right again when everyone is allowed out. Anyway. That's enough from me. I hope you enjoyed the show. Recommend the show to friends and family. Place a review. Let me know if you like this episode. I would love to know. Okay, all the best. Have a great week. Cheers. Bye. The EV Podcast is proudly brought to you with help from OEM Audio, New Zealand's leading supplier of safe and reliable AC chargers and charging cables. For more information, go to www.evpower.co.nz. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, check us out on evpodcast.com or subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasting content. Thanks for listening.